Well, for those of you who are visitors or watching online for the first time or whatever, my name is Scott, and I am not the pastor. I serve as an elder here, and I'm going to share a little out of the Word here this morning. And, I enjoy reading the Word of God, and I've been reading in Ephesians, and I know the pastor did a really good job of teaching out of the book of Ephesians here not too long ago, but you're going to get a little more out of it today, I guess. And the Word of God is powerful. I appreciate the epistles that Paul wrote. I guess it was 13 of them. And I'm just going to go, this will be more like a probably like a Bible study. And he says in Ephesians chapter 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. He's writing to the church, writing to us. Here he wrote this book right around a couple thousand years ago. And you know what? It's still relevant. He's still speaking the truth. He's still speaking to the church, still speaking to us. And it says, blessed be the God. We're going to back up a little. It says, grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul speaks a lot about grace, God's grace. Matter of fact, he mentions it six times in the first two chapters. And we probably all got a pretty good idea what grace is and grace is all about. I kind of teased Gracie this morning. I said I was going to be preaching about her this morning, but it's actually about God's grace. And I'm going to read Google's definition of God's grace. I cheat a little bit. I used to use a concordance, but I use Google quite a bit. It's quicker, and usually it's pretty good. It says, God's grace is God's life power, and righteousness given to us by unmerited favor. It is through grace that God works effective change in our hearts and lives. Grace gives us a new life, which is not condemned by God. And I believe old Paul, he really appreciated God's grace, and so should we. It says, there is no one righteous, not even one. And our righteousness is as filthy rags, it says. And, you know, I know a lot of good people, a lot of good Christians. Matter of fact, my in-laws are good people and good Christians on both sides. And I love them. I appreciate them so much. But you know what? Even they fall short of the glory of God. And we all fall short. I'm kind of a nature guy, you might say. I live out in the country. I think I've had every creature that God ever put on this part of the planet come through my yard over the years. I've had moose, bear. I think I might even have had a mountain lion come through there last winter. It left a track in the snow about 5 inches wide. And I don't know for sure what it was, but it was big, whatever it was. All the way down to coons and skunks and beaver. And all the way down to chipmunks and striped gophers and whatnot. And we have lots of birds out there, beautiful birds, ducks and geese and most every kind of duck you can imagine, and bald eagles, and even got some chickens. And those chickens are really experiencing mercy and grace. I should have butchered them 2 months ago, probably. They're getting so big they can hardly walk. And their day is coming. But and I learn quite a little from watching nature. And makes me think of Albert Einstein. You probably all have heard of him. He supposedly is one of the smartest men, if not the smartest man, who lived in his time. And one of his students one time when he was teaching his class in college asked him, he said, Mr. Einstein, have you ever seen where God is? And I liked Einstein's answer. He said, I've never seen where God isn't. And God is everywhere. And you can read about it in Romans. It says how God's creation points to him. Well, the point I'm trying to get across is them bald eagles, quite a majestic creature. It even mentions them in the Bible, you know, quite often. And the chickens, not so much. Even though they are mentioned in the Bible too, how God would like to gather his chicks underneath him and protect them, but they wouldn't, you know, referring to us people. And you know what? I hate to admit it, folks, but we're like chickens. We don't soar like the eagle. And you know what? God knows that. And I watch my chickens. They'll get feeling kind of frisky once in a while. They'll kind of waddle around and flap their wings, but they don't even clear the ground. And but the eagle soars effortlessly. I can watch them for a long time. Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, they're quite a majestic bird. Quite a creation. And you know what? God is like the eagle, and we are like the chicken. And we sometimes think we can really fly, or we're really great, or we're really good, but we will never achieve that status like the eagle does in one respect. But God knows that, and that, to me, might be kind of a poor explanation or poor definition of the grace of God. God's seen us poor chickens down here scratching around, hoping we could fly and soar like him. But you know what? Not even the best of us could do that, soar like the eagle. But God, in his great mercy, reached down to us through Jesus Christ. He's seen our plight. He didn't just say, oh, them stupid chickens, forget about them. They'll never soar, no matter how hard they try. But instead, he sent his son, Jesus Christ, down to us so that we could experience real life that God has for us. And that's the grace. That's my definition or explanation of God's grace. Paul experienced God's grace, as most of you probably know from reading the Bible, that he was a very religious guy. He thought in order to get right with God, fulfill all the law, and even persecute Christians. This new thing, they're enemies of God. I'm just going to smite them. I'm just going to do my best to get rid of them. And that was Paul's mission. He was doing a pretty good job of it too. But you know what? God, by his great mercy and love, he smote Paul, knocked him off of his high horse, and he had a supernatural experience with God that changed his life. And he experienced the grace of God. And that's why when he did some writing, that was the first thing he mentioned, was God's grace. Because he knew without it, there was no way that he could be saved. And you know what, brothers and sisters? It's the same way for us too. Without God's grace, none of us could be saved. So we need to realize that and lean on it and appreciate that God's grace, not to forget it. That's just the beginning. That's verse 2. And this Ephesians book, if you aren't familiar with the Bible or if you haven't read it much, I encourage you to read it. To me, it's kind of like, I've seen in some movies, pirate movies or whatever, where they come across this treasure and this big room or this big cave will be full of gold coins and gold lampstands and all this stuff and jewels and chests just full of it. Well, to me, the book of Ephesians is like that treasure room. It is so full. I've been reading it for several months, and I just can't quite get it all. And God has so much for us, and he wants us to experience it all. He wants us to know the riches that we have in Christ. I'll read another verse here or two. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." Our inheritance, all that we have, we can thank Jesus Christ for it, for what he did for us on the cross. We have every spiritual blessing. I'd like to find out what that is exactly. I think I've scratched the surface. I've experienced some wonderful things of God, but I believe there's a whole lot more. And I believe God encourages us and blesses us, or he wants us to pursue it. He wants us to check it out. If my rich uncle left me millions of dollars and real estate and livestock and equipment and whatnot, and I get a letter from some attorney and says, "Hey, you are the recipient of all these, this big inheritance that your rich uncle left you." Well, I wouldn't be very appreciative or very smart if I just threw the letter in the garbage can and said, "Oh, that's nice." You know what? I'd be pursuing it. I'd find out, where is this attorney, and where is my inheritance, and let's check it out. And that's what I believe all of us need to do. We need to pursue what God has for us, not take it for granted. Okay, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to the adoption as sons by Christ Jesus to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. That's a lot said there. But even the way I understand it, even before the fall of man in the garden, that God had a plan for redemption for mankind. And we were a part of that plan. And I'm so grateful that he did. I am going to read a verse that Cheryl read last Sunday, and which I think is so powerful. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So Jesus considered it a joy to go to the cross so we can experience redemption that was part of God's plan from the very beginning for mankind. I feel like I can't do justice to what God has done, what the Word is trying to get across to us. Time is about out already, but I'm going to hit just a couple other high points in Ephesians. And I encourage you all to get in there and start reading what your inheritance is for yourself. But it says in Ephesians 3, okay, 3:16 through 21, it says, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. God has given us his Holy Spirit to strengthen us, to give us what we need to receive his riches, to receive everything he has for us. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you may be rooted and grounded in love, that Christ can actually dwell in our hearts, and that we may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height. This verse here, verse 19, is one that really sticks out to me. It says, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. That God wants us to know that love, to experience that love. It's something that words can't even describe. I can't do it justice. It's something that God wants every one of us to know and experience, the great love that he has for us, that Jesus has for us. Like John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. That God loves us. He has a purpose for us and a plan for us. And it says that you may be filled with the fullness of God. That's something that God is actually saying, that we can be filled with the fullness of God, that we can have that love, that joy, that peace, patience, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, all these things that God wants to fill us with. What a deal. What a deal. And it's ours. It's us. It's important that we go for it and receive it and appreciate all of God's grace. And, okay, I'm going to quote just a few more verses here. And I believe this is something that we are going to be entering more into here in the near future. You're probably aware that that our church has become, I don't know what you might call, united with a bigger ministry called True Bridge. And it says, okay, in Ephesians 4:11, it says, and he gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. We maybe haven't seen so much of the fivefold ministry as like God wants us to. And I believe we're going to be seeing more of that. So I believe it's something that we can be expecting and looking forward to. For it's for our edification. It's for our growth. Because Jesus is coming back for a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. And I don't know about you guys, I got a few spots and wrinkles that need to be ironed out yet in my life. And I'm looking forward to the working of the Holy Spirit, the working of what God wants to do. And in closing, we're going to have Brother Barry lead us in an old hymn. This hymn was written by a fella who, he experienced God's grace also. And he wrote this hymn, which seems to be timeless, and he had a revelation of the grace of God, which we need too. All righty, Barry.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see.
Through many dangers,
through his many grace,
dangers,
toils and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home
when we've been there.
When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun. We've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun.
Thank you, Barry. I'm going to close this with a word of prayer and even ask the blessing on the meal. Those of you who can, please stick around and enjoy one another's fellowship and food. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for your amazing grace that saved our miserable souls. There's the only way we could be saved, and you made a way. So we thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ for being faithful and doing it joyfully, that we, his church, could be redeemed and saved. God, and pray a blessing on the fellowship and the food that's going to be taking place here, and a very special blessing on the Allens as they'll be launching out into this new chapter of their life, this big step of faith. God, may you lead, guide, direct, and protect them every step of the way. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Scott, can I add something?
Yep.
You know, it's not every day we get an opportunity like this, but Joseph and Marcy are taking a big step of faith. I mean, a big step of faith. They're leaving a comfort zone here. They're leaving a family here, and they're launching out into an unknown territory. It'll be a safe place for them, but it's going to involve some expense to get there. And I'm suggesting if we could have a couple of ushers to stand at each door with a bucket as we go out. When we give to somebody in a situation like this, we're doing two things. We're blessing them and providing for their needs at this time, but we're also planting seed because, you know, someday God might call somebody else to do something similar. And by having planted seed in their lives, you're just making a way for God to bless you further. So please consider that as you're leaving. Thank you.